Hold on. First of all, I want to say thank you for all your encouragement and well wishes. You know, normally in the past when I'm inviting somebody to church, usually when they hear my accent, they always ask, "Where are you from?" And now I'm going to say, "I'm an American." Now, originally I'm from somewhere else, but it's going to take a few months to get used to this. But again, thank you so much for your encouragement. And I had this button. I don't know how long I've had it. It's been sitting in my drawer, so I got it out this morning, and that's why I have it on. You know, the president wears his every day. But it's cool to be able to put that on. Well, we have a couple of people visiting this morning, and so I'd like to introduce them. Ken Watson from the church in Auburn. Okay, go ahead and stand up. He and Kat, he used to be a deacon here in this congregation many years ago. And the brother who leads the campus at Emory University, Brad, is visiting from North River. Can I have you stand up? Welcome. Well, you and I will serve an awesome God. An all-powerful, all-knowing, the eternal rock of ages. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. The scripture says that he dwells in unapproachable light, the God who is, who was, and the God who is to come. And obviously, because of sin, you and I at one time were separated from this God, but Jesus came into this world to buy us back and to give us an opportunity to come back to God. And because of the blood of Jesus, you and I have that access to the Almighty. You see, it's not a question of what you know. It's a question of who you know. And for us as Christians, that could be more true in terms of the access God has now, through Jesus, we now have to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And I want to start off this morning by asking you, where is your most favorite place to be? Okay? I'm going to step on some toes this morning. I've heard some of our teenagers say, well, their favorite place to be is the swamp. The swamp is okay. It's a nice place to be and a nice place to hang out. Some people say, well, their favorite place is Hawaii. Hawaii is okay. I've never been there. I've seen pictures. I've been to the Caribbean, and as far as I'm concerned, if you've been to the Caribbean, you've been to Hawaii. It's the same place, same thing. Some of you may say Paris. I've never been to Paris. I heard people smoke a lot there. And so that's another reason I'm not really eager to go there. I'm sure it's a beautiful place. Some people say London, their favorite place to be, whatever. I mean, you may have your own place. But as Christians, I hope and pray that your favorite place to be is in the presence of Almighty God. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 16, I'm going to start reading from verse 14. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we were, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is my favorite place to be. It's not a religious thing. Where you and I, because of the blood of Jesus, we have access into the throne room where God himself dwells.
And he summons us to come in. The question is, as we said it here this morning, how often did you go into the throne room this week? How much time did you spend there? Is that your favorite place to be? Or is it something on this earth that is physical, that is decaying, that is going to pass away someday? It's amazing to me that you and I can approach the King of the universe anytime, any day, any place, as many times as we want. And yet, we don't take advantage of it. We spend more time in other places doing other things. And then we wonder, how come we're not fulfilled? How come we're not at peace? How come we're not joyful? You know how it is when, if you travel somewhere and usually you stay in a hotel, and the next morning, believe me, you're going to hear a knock on your door. Housekeeping! And because of that, they have a little sign that you usually find at the on the back of the doorknob, on the inside. You got to put that thing on the outside to tell them not to disturb you, because you want to sleep in. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of times, when my wife and I travel somewhere and we arrive and we're tired, that's the first thing I do, even before we put the bags in. I just take that thing and put it on the outside. Say, please don't wake me up. You see, I believe that as Christians, this morning we're talking about approaching God, okay? That's the title of my lesson. Approaching God. But I believe as Christians, we need to hang that door sign up saying, getting alone with God. Very often. Throughout the entire day. And so I'm asking this morning, how often do you hang up this sign? You say, Richard, I don't know what to talk about. I don't know what to say. You can just go in there and listen. Be still and know that God is God. It's not every time your mouth needs to be moving. Sometimes you just need to go sit there and just be with your God. And let him talk to you. Because he will. Remember, he's a spirit. And you've got his Holy Spirit living inside of you. But do we go in to listen? Do we go in to ask? Do we go in for strength and for guidance? We're talking about approaching God this morning. You know, sometimes, you know, you have a loved one sick in the hospital and they're lying in the bed and obviously they don't have a lot of strength. They can't really speak up loudly like they normally would. And so if they want to tell you something, you know, you got to move close to them, right? And you literally have to put your ear against their mouth to hear what they're saying. That's the kind of drawing near that we're talking about. It's not as if you keep God at a distance. And I was like, God, I'm here. God says, come close. How close? Just keep coming. Keep coming. God wants to be that close to us. We're talking about the King of the universe. I mean, the most famous monarch that we know in our time is Queen Elizabeth II of England. He had a great-great-grandson this week. I was actually hoping that they would name the young man Richard. You know, they have a Richard in their lineage, you know. You heard of Richard the Lionheart? You know, he was a military leader. Maybe that's why they didn't name him Richard. Because that guy was always fighting. But anyway. But they named him Prince George Alexander Louis. Those are his names. And when Prince Charles, his grandfather, went to visit him, for the first time since 1894, the next three monarchs were in the same room. I find things like that very interesting. Like, wow, that's true. Charles is going to be next. And then you got William. And then you got this little kid. At that time, they hadn't named him. They were calling him Prince Cambridge. Okay? He's going to be Prince George Alexander of Cambridge. Are you with me? But you see, I say all that to say, You don't just show up at Buckingham Palace and walk in and say, hey, Liz, what's up? Let's chat. You have to be summoned by the monarch. You know, in Esther 4:16, you can go look it up in your spare time. That's why Esther said, you know, people pray for me because I'm about to go enter the king without being summoned. But her attitude was, you know what, if I die, I die. But you know the rest of the story. If you don't know, you need to go study it out. Very fascinating. That's because you just can't walk in to the presence of a monarch. And yet here we are, a student of God. We can go before this king every single day. And so I'm asking you again this morning, how much time are you spending there? Do you really understand what we've got? Amen? This is very convicting for me. I love spending time with God. I really do. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. I cannot believe I get paid to do this. What's a preacher all about? He gets paid to read his Bible and to pray. And then to talk about it. That's what being a preacher is. Amen? It's awesome. A lot of you come join me in this gig. I was doing this before they paid me. I will continue to do this even if they're not paying me. Are you with me? But you see, it's an incredible thing to be able to come before God into his presence. And to know that I'm not just there by myself. Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. The Bible says, even in Hebrews, interceding for you, interceding for me. And yet, we're so busy with other things. We're so busy going to work. We're so busy raising kids. We're so busy doing this. We're so busy doing that. And we neglect the most important thing. Your walk with the Lord, your prayer time, your Bible study, your time with God. So I'm asking, how often do you hang up this sign, spiritually speaking? How often do you hang it up? What's going on with this thing? What happened to my laser? Okay. How often do you hang up this sign? Seriously. It's 24 hours in a day. How much time does this sign go up in your personal life? Because you've got so much to lay before the throne of God. Brothers and sisters, this ought to be our most favorite place. I'm sorry, in the swamp, kids. I actually think that's blasphemous. You know, one of the signs they have on the website is a taste of heaven. I think that stuff needs to be taken down. A little taste of heaven, that's what it says. I got to be accurate. I'm sorry, man, it ain't a little taste of heaven. There's spiders all over the place and cobwebs. Come on, man. Different day, different sermon. It's not a 5-star accommodation. Little taste of heaven, you got to be kidding me. I know you guys love the place, and that's fine, and that's good. But in the end, it's not a little taste of heaven. Let me tell you that right now. Where was I? How often do you hang this sign up? Okay? And so very quickly again, we're just looking at this passage this morning. Let's talk about, Larry, this stuff ain't moving. Okay. Number one, draw near. All right, draw near. John Wesley once said, prayer is where the action is. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Talking about Jesus. Drawing near, it means actively coming before God. It doesn't just happen. You and I have to decide to go there. That's what it means to draw near. Bringing ourselves physically into the throne room in the presence of God. Like I said earlier, to give thanks, to listen, to ask for help. If you're not doing that, then you're depending on your flesh. And you know what the Bible teaches? The arm of flesh will fail you. You are going to be a frustrated and a grumpy, anxious, worrisome human being. Even as a Christian. Because you're not drawing near to God. Are you with me? See, again, I don't know about you. When I find myself, you know, all anxious and all antsy, all I need to do is just pause. You know what? I need to go be with God. I can't continue this next several hours this way. I just need to take some time off and I go be with the Lord. And that's what I do. Amen? It's very important that we draw near to God. That we stop everything. That we make a lot of visits to the throne of God on a daily basis. Amen? Draw near. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Where we come in boldly. Where we come in, they'll say, see, you know, again, we're putting our ears to the mouth of God. Talk to me, Lord. I want to hear you. Amen? That's what we're talking about. Thank you. Give Larry a hand. The battery died. Okay? My second point, draw near with confidence. It says, with confidence. You and I are able to go in there because Jesus is already there. I understand that, yes, we are unworthy sinners. That's who we are. You know, when you've done wrong and you walk in before the judge, yes, there needs to be trepidation. There needs to be fear. But you and I can walk in with confidence, not because of who we are, but because of what Jesus has already done for us. Are you with me? Again, we're not going in there by ourselves. We're going in there. Jesus is already there, seated at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit is also present, interceding on our behalf. That's why I can walk in with confidence. Are you with me? That I'm not going in to talk to a stranger. I'm going to talk to my daddy. Amen? Kids don't get fearful of going to talk to their dads. You know? Say, hey, dad. Say, yeah, son, what's up? They don't go talk to their mom first and say, you know what, mom, I need to talk to father. Could you set up an appointment for me? And then the wife sets up the appointment and then she summons you. Jacob, you may approach now. And then the father goes, enter. If that's going on in your house, you guys are weird. God just says, come. Are you with me? We're walking with confidence when we're talking to our dads. That's the confidence we need to walk in with. Yes, you're a sinner. And tomorrow you're still going to be a sinner. But I can go in because of the blood of Jesus. Are you with me? And so where's that confidence? If you find yourself not confident in approaching God, it's because Satan keeps lying to you. Remember, the Bible says he's the accuser. Say, you can't go before God. You messed up again yesterday by lusting or whatever, or you lied, whatever it is you did. And then we think, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, God is very upset with me right now. Let me just stay away. No. You need to go in and say, God, I'm sorry. Father, I'm sorry. I blew it again yesterday. He already knows. So you come in humble. Are you with me? Amen. That's what we ought to do. But we need to go in confidently. He knows you've messed up. He knows I've messed up. But he still wants us to come. Are you with me? It's our sins that weigh us down. We don't need to be afraid. God knows that you and I are messes. I'm a mess. He knows that. He knows you're a mess too. But you need to walk in confidently. Amen? You know, here's the part that really amazes me with this. You know, because he's all powerful and all knowing, even before you show up, everything you are going to ask for and say he already knows. That's amazing to me. Now, a physical monarch, when you approach them or they summon you, they have no idea the request you're going to be making. If I was able to get an audience with the Queen of England tomorrow, I'm going to talk about God, and I'm going to talk about Jesus, and I'm going to talk about getting saved. I'm going to say, Your Majesty, you got to call her by you got to use the proper title, okay? Your Majesty, they say you are the head of the Church of England. I got news for you. You ain't the head of the Church of England. Jesus is the head of the Church of England, okay? Turn with me to this verse, and that's what I'm going to do, all right? But she will have no idea about the things I'm going to be talking to her about. But Jesus does. God does every time you and I go before him. This is amazing to me. Again, I don't know about you. Okay, let's just be honest here. How many of us in here are parents? All right? Okay. How fired up are you when your son or your daughter, regardless of their age, if they keep asking you the same question and you've given the same answer? Hey, I got to be honest with you. There were times when my kids were growing up, and I'm like, guys, come on. I've answered that already. In other words, I was saying, could you please give me a break? You can't keep asking me the same stuff. I've told you already. And yet, despite the fact that God knows what we're going to be asking, he wants to hear it again. And we're not bothering him. Oh, my goodness. That's amazing to me. I'll be like, you know, God, hey, I've been hearing this for 10 years. Okay? You're going to get the answer to that prayer in 2020, okay? Will you stop bothering me? That's what I would do if I was God. But he doesn't act like that. He knows what we're going to be asking, but he wants us to come humble and ask him because he cares for us. And then you have to ask yourself the question. If he already knows what you're going to be asking for, why does he tell us to come? Because he wants to have fellowship with us. Oh. God is more interested in the company than in the asking. Oh. That's very humbling for me. Sinful person that I am. God wants my company. He wants to hang out with me. He wants me to talk to him. He wants to talk to me. He wants to find out how I'm doing. Amen? And one of these days we get to do this forever. Thank you, Jesus. But there's got to be confidence there. Eh? I got to keep moving. He says, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Okay? This throne is like no other throne. The throne of grace. It doesn't say throne of judgment. For non-Christians, it's going to be a throne of judgment. Oh, goodness gracious. For you and I, it's the throne of grace. That's why we can walk in confidently. When you have your swag on. Say, hey, what's up? Non-Christians come in and will come in one day with trepidation. Trembling. They will beg, they will plead, and God will not change his mind. That's why you and I need to continue to reach out to people. Because for us, it's a throne of grace. It's not a throne of wrath. It's not a throne of judgment. Now, Hebrews also talks about, yes, it's a throne of grace. We don't deliberately keep on sinning because now we're Christians. On the contrary, the Bible says we died to sin in Romans. How can we live in it any longer? Are you with me? But we're talking about a throne of grace. You know, I'm so fired up because if you think about it, a brother said this many years ago, and I think it's very true. He says, really, all the Christian life is practicing for heaven. I say, you know, there's a lot of truth in that. You know, if you and I are so used to being in the presence of God right now, and we go there very often, believe me, on the other side, you're not going to be struggling. God has been so used to seeing you very often that he's not, hey, where have you been? I haven't seen you since last week. I haven't heard from you since last week. It shouldn't be that way. I haven't heard from you in 48 hours. It shouldn't be that way. Where you and I are constantly, morning, during the day, and at night, in the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. Before this throne. Amen? Amen? And finally, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Like I said, a guilty person approaches with fear. But you and I can expect mercy because of Jesus. Because of the fact that he died and took our place on the cross, like Peter was talking about with us this morning. This kind of grace is there to help us. His grace not only forgives us, it enables us. His grace not only erases our sin, it sustains us. This kind of grace addresses all the needs we have in our lives. But God cannot give it if you don't approach him. Your wife cannot do this for you. Your husband cannot do this for you. Your kids cannot do this for you. Only God can. Are you with me? And that's why we got to go very often. That's why we got to make the time to find the time to do this. It's an incredible privilege to be able to come into the presence of God every day as often as we want. Amen? A lady called Corrie Ten Boom once asked, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? A lot of us, our time with the Lord is like a spare tire. What's a spare tire? You go and grab it when you need it. A lot of us, that's the way we treat God. God hears from you only when you need his help. You're not going there just to commune. You're not going there just to be in his presence. We ought to turn that around. Amen? I don't know about you. I don't like it when my phone rings and it's somebody I haven't heard from or seen in months or weeks. And every time this person calls, they want something. Or could you do something for them? I don't know about you. That, to me, that's not friendship. Hey, bro, how you doing? It's like, I'm doing fine. Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, could you help me with this? And then, obviously, I help out. And that's it. You don't hear from them again until they want something else. To me, that's not friendship. To me, that's using somebody. I wonder how God feels. Are we men and women that are using him? Or are we men and women that just want to be with him? That we just show up, when we do, especially when we don't want anything. We look forward to that time to be with him and in his presence. I remember as a very, very young disciple, I think I was 2 months old in the ministry. I called his brother up. He was an evangelist. I said, hi. Hey, how are you doing? He said, what do you want? And he kind of took me aback. I said, nothing. I said, I was just calling to say hi, to see how you're doing. And he paused for a few seconds. He says, Richard, I cannot remember the last time anybody called me just to ask me how I'm doing. People always call, they want something. I said, bro, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not that kind of person. I was just calling to see how you're doing. Okay? You have yourself a nice day. And I hung up. I didn't say that to pat myself on the back. When God puts somebody in my consciousness, I just pick up the phone and call them up. Yeah. Because God allowed me to think about that person for a reason. I just say, hi, how you doing? How are the kids? Now, 3 months from now, I may need something from you, and I'll call you back. That's okay. All I'm just saying is, we can't be men and women that are just, we call people up or we go before God because we need something. That's all I'm saying. That's what we've got to change. That's what we've got to turn around. And so how often do you approach God? Is this your most favorite place to be? It is for me. I'm not kidding you. It always has been. I love my wife to death. But God does a lot of stuff for me that Sarah cannot. Sarah is not God. She wasn't meant to be. She could never be. There are things that only God can do for you. And some of us, we put that kind of pressure on our spouses. There are times when my wife will look at me and go, Richard, you need to go be with your God. Because whatever funk you're in, I can solve this for you. You need to go be with your God. And before you know it, I'm gone. And God sorts me out. Then I come back a different person. Amen?
Amen.
But we got to approach God with confidence. We got to go before that throne of grace so that we can find mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Because you and I will have those times of needs. They're going to be there. And God's mercy, God's grace will be there to help us through.
That's right.
But it all depends on how often are you and I approaching God. Again, because of time, you're going to have to look up. I'm going to put up a bunch of verses over here. And go look them up. This thing is acting up again, Larry. Let me slide to the next slide. Okay. Again, these are just a bunch of scriptures that you already know them. Talking about prayer. Philippians 4:6 talks about do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. There's stuff in your life you're trying to change. Only God can do it for you. You want God to soften your heart? Only God can do that for you. Okay? James 5:16 talks about the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Colossians 4:2 says devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Romans 12:12, Jude 20, and Psalm 145, verse 18. Just look up those verses. And I hope, and just, I'm hoping and praying that, again, just these few verses will cause you to see your time with the Lord very differently from this day forward. That prayer and approaching God is not something you do, it's who you are. That's what we're talking about. It needs to become who you are. Amen? Next slide. One day without God makes you weak. That's my conviction. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Why do you think Jesus, when we read the Gospels, the Bible says, often withdrew to spend time with God in prayer? Because he was replenishing himself. That was where his power came from. That was why he was able to live a sinless life. It was his time with the Almighty. Are you with me? And so again, I'm encouraging us as a church, going forward, let us approach God like we've never done before in our individual Christian lives.
Amen.
And you watch what happens.
Amen.
Oh, you watch the Holy Spirit come through for you.
Yeah.
You watch Jesus start fulfilling all his promises to you.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
But we got to go after it. We got to do it. This is where it's at. Approaching God.
So I'm going to end with a little video on prayer. I hope this helps. God bless.
Amen. Father, you are amazing. And God, we just heard a lot about how amazing you are today. God, that we get to approach your throne with confidence, Father, that Jesus made a way for us to do that. And God, I pray that each one in this room would take full advantage of that as we live our lives, God, knowing that our strength comes from prayer. Everything we do is meaningless if we're not praying, God. We need to be close to you and relying on you for everything. And God, I pray that you fill every person's heart with that in their spirit, God, to just cry out to you. Be anxious about nothing, but offer prayer and petition to you and have that peace that transcends all understanding. Father, I also want to thank you for this church and just the elders that we have and the classes that are going on. Father, I pray that we would really separate ourselves from the world to follow your word, God, like we committed to do from the beginning. Let us each rededicate ourselves to following you wholeheartedly, God, if we're not there this morning. And let us go out through this week. Let's pray more than we've ever prayed before. And God, just completely rely on your strength and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.